Well, hello everyone and welcome to the podcast. This is Dr. Nicholas Hedberg, and today I'm going to be talking about the low FODMAP diet. So the low FODMAP diet has been pretty popular for a few years now, highly effective for a number of digestive problems like irritable bowel syndrome, gas, bloating, cramping, and things like that. And it's become more and more popular because many people have been on a tremendous amount of antibiotics, either early in life or as an adult. And we'll talk a little bit about how this can create a number of problems with the digestive system and cause conditions like irritable bowel. So a FODMAP is basically it's called a fermentable oligodimonosaccharide and polyol. So kind of a complicated name, but that's why they abbreviated as a FODMAP. And this is a specific type of carbohydrate found in specific foods, and it can be very difficult for some individuals to digest FODMAPs. So a few examples of FODMAPs are going to be things like dairy products because of lactose, fructans, which are found in foods like wheat, onions, and garlic. Galactins, these are found in legumes such as beans, lentils, soybeans. Fructose, found in honey, specific fruits, and high fructose corn syrup. And lastly, compounds called polyols. And these are found in various fruits known as stone fruits. And stone fruits, a few examples would be avocados, cherries, nectarines. And then artificial sweeteners, so-called natural artificial sweeteners, things like xylitol, sorbitol, mannitol, those are the main, you know, five classes of FODMAPs that people need to avoid when they're following a low FODMAP diet. So let's talk a little bit about why you would want to follow a low FODMAP diet. Like I mentioned earlier, if you've been diagnosed with irritable bowel syndrome, this is really the condition that the low FODMAP diet was designed for. And so the symptoms of irritable bowel are going to be gas, bloating, alternating constipation with diarrhea or loose stools. You might have abdominal pain and discomfort, abdominal cramping. You might have a lot of weight gain around the midsection, and it'll be very difficult to lose that weight, even with dieting. Another symptom would be when you have a bowel movement, just not feeling like you're completely emptying your bowels, passing mucus in the stool. If you're one of those people that feels hungry pretty shortly after having a meal, so you might get really hungry within 30 to 60 minutes after eating, fatigue after meals, brain fog after meals. So those are a lot of the main symptoms of irritable bowel. But if you have any of those, and you don't necessarily have a, you know, full diagnosis of irritable bowel, then the low FODMAP diet can be extremely helpful. So why do FODMAPs do what they do? Basically, they draw a lot of water into the intestine. So the water swells, causes the bowel to swell, and that's what creates the bloating and the cramping and all the digestive problems. The other thing is that FODMAPs just aren't absorbed very well, and they're sort of like fast food to the bacteria in the gut. So they're digested very rapidly, and so they ferment very rapidly, and that's also what creates a lot of the symptoms that people have. And some of the reasons why people have difficulty digesting them, because a healthy digestive system, healthy gut bacteria, should be able to digest them without any problems. But like I mentioned earlier, the more antibiotics you've taken in your life, the more likely you are to have difficulty digesting FODMAPs. Basically, your large intestine should have about 10 times as many bacteria as the small intestine. But the more antibiotics you've taken and the poorer your diet, the more this shifts into an opposite ratio. So you'll actually have more bacteria in the small intestine than the large. And this creates what's called small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And so you have this large amount of bacteria in the upper GI, And the FODMAPs are going to be digested very rapidly, and they're going to cause fermentation. And then this will even happen in the large intestine as well if there is what we call bacterial dysbiosis. And bacterial dysbiosis is just basically abnormal bacterial colonies in the intestine. So think about how many times you've taken antibiotics, and if you've taken them quite a bit, or if you've noticed your digestive system getting worse after antibiotics, or the more antibiotics you've taken, the worse you felt, then this can be one of the reasons why. And if you've never really done the necessary steps to rebalance your gut bacteria, that's when you can start to develop these digestive problems. So, you know, beans are a kind of a classic example of a FODMAP. You know, the old joke, beans, the magic fruit, causing gas. And that's because they are a FODMAP. And so some people will have problems digesting them, and so they'll have a lot more gas. However, if you have a really healthy digestive system, you shouldn't get any gas from eating beans. So beans can actually be a great diagnostic tool to identify any abnormal bacteria in your gut. So as far as how long should you follow the FODMAP diet, the great thing about this diet is that you really don't have to follow it for a long time, sometimes just 2 weeks. The average is going to be about 4 weeks, and 6 weeks is really the maximum. You really don't have to follow it longer than that, but it's going to depend on what your doctor or your nutrition or dietitian decides is best for you, because following a low FODMAP diet, you'll begin to reverse any of those bacterial colony issues that you may have pretty quickly. So the gut is going to respond pretty quickly to the low FODMAP diet, sometimes even within 24 to 48 hours. People will notice a big difference. The other thing that you should really understand about antibiotics is that just a single 7 to 10 day round of an antibiotic, it's recently been shown that that will completely disrupt all of your gut bacteria for about 12 to 14 months after you've taken that single round of antibiotics. So you compound that, the more times you've taken them, the greater your chances of having these long-term types of issues. The other thing that antibiotics do is that they permanently change the DNA of the bacteria in your gut. So you may notice some digestive problems maybe 20, 30, 40 years after just a single round of antibiotics. And that's because those gut bacteria have had permanent genetic changes, which can create a number of problems like we've talked about today. The other important thing to note is that antibiotics can create yeast overgrowth, and this will further compound your digestive system problems. And then if you have yeast overgrowth, like candida, fungus, and you have bacterial overgrowth, then there can be a good chance that you'll also have an intestinal parasite. You'll pick up parasites from traveling overseas, eating contaminated foods, hand-to-mouth exposure, and if the immune system is compromised and you don't have healthy gut bacteria, then it's pretty easy for a parasite to take hold. And so this is something that could really be holding you back if you're not getting the results that you really want on the low FODMAP diet. And sometimes I'll recommend a ketogenic diet in combination with the low FODMAP diet. And the reason that you would want to do that, we usually only do that with patients who have significant insulin resistance. They have a difficult time losing weight, difficult time burning fat, or they have a lot of inflammation, and we want to get the inflammation down and get things balanced that way. So you can combine the ketogenic diet with the low FODMAP diet. And I'm going to include all of the resources that I've talked about in the on the website where I post this podcast. You'll be able to link to all of these if you want more information. So really the best way to get started is just to follow the low FODMAP diet. And the first resource that you'll see that I've posted is a handout from Stanford University. They've put a great outline together. They tell you exactly which foods are high in FODMAPs, which are moderate FODMAPs, and which are low in FODMAPs. So they make it very easy, and then you'll see some recipes on there. And then I have another link to a dietitian named Kate Scarlotta, who's written quite a bit about the low FODMAP diet, and she's written a book on it. She's got a lot of great resources, like a shopping list, recipes, checklists, and things like that. The other thing that can be helpful is a mobile app available for Android and iPhone. And this is available from Monash University. That's M-O-N-A-S-H. And Monash University, their Department of Gastroenterology, they were really the first to come up with the low FODMAP diet and figure out the connection with irritable bowel and digestive problems. So they were the ones that did all the original research. And so I have a link to their website as well as to their mobile app that you can install on your phone or your tablet. And that can really help when you're out shopping or you're planning to do the low FODMAP diet. So again, I just want to say that before you try the low FODMAP diet, you should really consult with your doctor, nutritionist, or dietitian to make sure that it's right for you. You have to talk to someone about all the reasons why you may have developed these abnormal bacterial colonies, possibly the yeast overgrowth, the parasites, and things like that. Because it's not just antibiotics, it's your overall lifestyle, your stress levels, your adrenal function, your thyroid, your blood sugar, how much stress you have in your life, your diet history, your exercise, etc., etc. And so a functional medicine practitioner is going to help you really put together the best overall plan. However, if you're doing pretty well with your health, you know your body pretty well, and you just want to try a simple diet for a few weeks and see if you get some improvements, the low FODMAP diet can be extremely powerful. It can have rapid positive results for you and really help your digestive system sort of rebalance itself. And then the last thing that we do after we've done a FODMAP diet with patients, after they followed it for anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks, we will do a gut flora restoration program. And that's just a specific program that we do with a lot of prebiotic and probiotic rich foods. And these are the foods that will help to restore healthy gut bacteria. And those are things like yogurt, kefir, film yolk. Those are the fermented cultured dairy products. And then we'll use things like sauerkraut, pickles, kimchi, and things like that, which can also help to feed the good bacteria and restore the good bacteria. One thing I forgot to mention earlier is that if you have small intestinal bacterial overgrowth, the last thing you want to do is take a probiotic, because basically you have way too many bacteria in the small intestine, and then taking a probiotic is just going to add to that. So you're really just fueling the fire. And this is one of the reasons why a lot of people have problems with probiotics, or they don't really help, or they don't really hold, because they weren't really taken at the same time. So while you're on the low FODMAP diet, you really want to avoid probiotics or probiotic-rich foods or prebiotic-rich foods as well, because you don't want to further feed that bacterial overgrowth. So that's one example of what you really need to know about supplements and probiotics and why they're really not always the best for everyone. So that's all I have for you today for the low FODMAP diet. Once again, I'm going to post all the resources on the website where I post the blog post. And I hope this was helpful. Thanks for tuning in to the Dr. Hedberg Show. Hope you enjoyed the podcast. We'll talk to you next time. Take care.